Hey, what's up, everybody? Justin Ochoa back with another episode of the Gym Sessions Podcast. And today I have on my guy, Jaimin Henson, one of my favorite athletes to train, truly one of the most infectious personalities that you'll ever be around. Just brightens up the gym every time he steps in. Jaimin is a pro hooper in Finland, and we talk about his career journey, all the things that he's been through up to this point in his career to help lead him to where he's at today. So as I mentioned, he's in Finland. So we might have had a little bit of technical difficulties, some audio issues here and there, but overall, pretty clean episode. I know you guys are going to absolutely love it and love his backstory. So tap into this one and enjoy. Jaimin, what's up, man? Welcome to the show. How's it going?
Going good, bro. How you doing?
Hey, surviving, man. Surviving. I'm glad we could make this happen. This is, I think, one of the probably the most looked forward to episode by a lot of the people that we train with. So it should be good.
Sure, for sure. It took so long to get everything, just scheduling wise, and just how you so busy, I'm so busy. No, it finally happened though. But we good.
I had my people call your people, and we make
you know. Hey, we made some connections, networking.
Yeah, 100%. So let's jump in, man, and just talk about kind of where you're at now. Talk about the new team you signed with, the new league you're in, and kind of where you're at, what part of the world you're in right now, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I'm in Salo, Finland now. I signed with Salo Vilppas, one of the top four teams in the chorus league here in Finland. It's a really up-tempo type league for my past scrimmages I've been in. But the team-wise is really a mature group of guys. We were battle tested. Preseason has been tough. These lot of two-a-days and just getting to know the guys. I feel like we got a nice head of steam going into the season. Our first game is the 30th, but I feel confident that we should start off pretty strong.
That's what's up, man. So I want to kind of talk about your journey, your basketball journey, because as you said, you're in a really good league right now. But over the years, you've climbed up the ranks. In European basketball, but I want to take it all the way back to college to start off with. Morehead State, how'd you end up there? What was your recruiting process like? Kind of take us through young Jaimin's recruiting process.
Nah, just going back to recruiting, them was a fun day. I missed them. For sure, miss them. But no, it was pretty good. Once Morehead started recruiting me, Sean Woods, Preston Spradlin really got on me hard. Pause.
That's crazy. Early in the podcast.
That's wild. They start recruiting me. They start really intensely recruiting me, talking to me every single day, just reaching out, making sure I was good. I just felt loved. And then with Jordan was in the same recruiting process as me, same class. So it was like, that'd be dope, two Indianapolis guys go to the same school, commit, you know. So I loved the school when I wanted to visit. I loved the team, the personnel, the coaching staff, and just everything with it. Plus, I had my dog with me, too. So it's like a kind of like a no-brainer just to sign there, you know. So that transition to college made it really easy, just having somebody you know you can talk to. And it's not everything is not new to you by yourself. You got somebody to go through it with. So yeah, college was was definitely a roller coaster, you know, with just on and off the court. On the court, just maturity-wise, I have to grow a lot, you know, because once you're there with grown men, you know. So you gotta adapt quicker, you know, because you're not going to be able to just jump in and get playing time if you're not ready. And that was my reality at first, you know. I had to adjust and, like, mature and, like, really lock in and get my game better so I could get on the court. So once that happened sophomore year, I think I really made a big jump, you know, really scoring-wise and just getting comfortable with the pace and just learning, you know. But, yeah, throughout the years, it was good, especially off the court, building relationships and friendships and just building memories, I would say. I got a lot of guys I can call now, you know, like Xavier Moon, that's with the Clippers now. I got Ronnie Beeman. Just a handful of guys I know I can call on if I ever need anything. And always, like, You know, that's a no-brainer and stuff like that. Everybody know, like, if you see me, you see him. That's how it was in college. It was like we was always together, always doing something, always playing or going through something together. So yeah. But the college experience was fun, man. There's some stuff I wish I can go back to, but it's also some stuff I don't want to go back to.
100%, man. Sure. So you mentioned, like, the ups and downs, and you jump in, you get a little bit of playing time, as most freshmen do, try to make the most of it. You have a kind of a breakout sophomore year, right? And then kind of take, like, a not a dip, but just like a change in your role in junior year, and then bounce back to being starter, regular minutes your senior year. You kind of came up in, like, that era where the portal was just being introduced,
right?
And I feel like if that would have happened today, I'm not saying you would have, but most kids are like, I'm transferring. You know what I mean? What was it like for you to, like, go through that and not really have that option? Like, how do you think that helped you kind of not, I'm not saying transferring takes the easy way out, but you stuck it out all 4 years and through thick and thin and through ups and downs.
I mean, I think it shows just, I can work through adversity. I'm not just going to fold under pressure. I'm willing to switch my perspective and, like, figure this thing out. And, like, I didn't want to lose relationships. I think more so is why I didn't really want to transfer. Like, I really wanted to stick it out with the guys I came in with. You know, me and Jordan had conversations back then. Like, damn, like, should we leave or should we just stick this out, you know? Because I know in high school – I transfer schools for other reasons. People think that's a whole different. In Indiana, we know that's a whole different conversation. But no, just stick it out and just really get better and learn from it. I think it prepared me now to just know when times get hard, I'm not gonna run away or just hop on a call and get out of there. You know, I'm gonna stick it out and learn from it, take adversity and make me stronger, you know? So I feel like I got, now as I look back, I think I'm probably glad I didn't transfer just off the fact that it molded me and helped me to the man I am today on how I look on and off the court with certain things that come up in my life.
Right. For sure. Yeah, that's a big thing. I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with transferring, but I feel like it's like an effortless decision now where. Sure.
If I was in this age, it might have happened, but we're not gonna speak on hypothetical situations. You know, but no, I'm glad I stuck it out. Just to say, I went through it and I stuck with the ups and downs, and I made the best of it. You know, so I there's no regrets in that form.
Yeah, 100%, man. So when you were coming up in college and started having, you know, some of these huge performances and getting ready for that senior year. Yeah. What was your mindset? Was it, I'm going overseas, I'm going pro? Was that always the goal, or when did that become kind of like on your radar?
I feel like going into college, playing professionally was like always a goal, because I always had guys I can look up to or seen before me. Like, I want to play professionally because I'm doing all these sprints and dying and blood getting elbowed and stuff to not get paid for, you know? So I think coming in, I was like, yeah, I got to make something happen. So fast forward to senior year, I'm like, okay, I know the numbers I've been having. I got to, like, up them up just a little bit, you know? So I knew back in my head, I got to kill so I can have a chance to get a deal, get an agent and play professionally. I thought more so it was probably like overseas. Yeah, the NBA was a dream and all that stuff, but like, back then, I think my reality was overseas. Not saying I can't play. I know I can't mentally. I feel like I can compete with anybody in the world. But at the time, it was like, that's time so you can play overseas. Like picking back off Jaywalk State, you know what I'm saying? Just having that title as an overseas basketball player, you know? So definitely it was like, you got to kill each game. Each game is big because you're trying to get overseas. And I just remember my coach saying, take that pressure off of you because you're going to play somewhere, you know. You're gonna get somewhere signed and you're going to do something. So just stop worrying about it and putting so much pressure and just have fun. It's your senior year. Embrace every day. And I think I fell into that trap just a little bit throughout the year. Just like, damn, I had a bad game. I don't think I'm going to go nowhere next season or or whatever. And then COVID hit, so it was like, I got so much stuff happening right now. Like, am I going to play somewhere else? So after that, you take that pressure off, you know, then it's just like, it's just basketball, and then the rest going to take care of itself.
Right, yeah, get back to having fun. And that's why we start playing the game, you know what I mean? It's such a fun game. So let's talk about your first pro debut, kind of your journey. We can start along the journey of Jaimin, the professional basketball player, and how he got to Finland, where he's at today. So talk a little bit about the initial process coming out from Morehead State, trying to find something, and ultimately finding the TBL.
Right. It was definitely a roller coaster, just because when COVID hit, it just made the market just fluctuate and go crazy. It was nothing traditional about it. I found my agent, Kevin Tarka, through Derek Grant. DG said he had a guy, and he connected us. And at first, me and Kevin, he wasn't going to represent me. He was just going to help me out. And like, because I had another guy talking to me, and I was telling him about the contract and how he wanted to do it. And he was just giving me tidbits on this and that and to look forward to. And then we started talking more and more. And he was just like, you know what I'm saying? I can represent you. And I trusted him and still trust him to this day, that he's going to work hard and work for me, and which he did. So when the TBL came around, I got that through a couple of mutual connections, you know. And it was COVID, so I'm like, I got to get something under my belt, just to, some updated film, because I personally didn't feel like my college numbers was just outstanding, you know, career-wise. Of course, I had my highs, but it just wasn't like eye-catching. So I'm like, let's get something under my belt. So I went down to Atlanta to play in the TBL. And did pretty good. I think I was second leading scorer on the team, you know, just got my feet wet in the professional world, you know. So I killed in there. It's a 3-month season, real short, you know. So I got done, got some more updated film. So then mid-October, around that time, I got a call, Kev, tell me to Tbilisi, Georgia, the Super League there, the top league in Georgia. And went out there not knowing what to expect. I know Jordan was telling me, like, how Georgia was and how it was so different. Because he went out there in COVID time, so it was like he was in the cell pretty much all day. So when I went out there, I'm like, I don't know what to expect. So I seen, like, the flip side of Georgia. Like, I seen the lit side, you know what I'm saying? I seen the whole city, how everything is. Like, what he was explaining to me, I didn't see none of that. So I'm like, dang, you know what I'm saying? Like, the city lit, you know, like living situation. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, a lot of guys thinking about to go into a perfect condo. You know what I'm saying? Like, truth be told, when I first got there, I was on the couch. They didn't even have a bed. It was a one bed apartment. Check it out. It was a one bed apartment with a little kitchen space and then like a living room. And I walked in. They're like, "This is good." I'm like, "Where the bed at?" There's no bed. It's 3 a.m. There's no bed. I said, "Oh." And I got a game the next morning. Oh, so I got to sleep on the couch. And I'm in the kitchen, so I can take 2 steps in the refrigerator. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, like I'm like, I'm at the bottom of the barrel, because I know guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, DA and them, I look on his story, he eating steak, you know what I'm saying? apartment. So I'm like, damn, like, I ain't comparing or nothing, but this is, I bet. So, you know, and I came out and dropped 51 the next game. So I don't know if that I was just locked in or whatever the case may be, but was locked in, went through the ups and downs, learning the ropes about how it's a business over there, you know. Because overseas, it's cutthroat. They tell you one day they love you, and the next day, like, yo, if y'all win this game, you're not getting paid, and we send you home. I had that a couple times, you know, so it just made me, like, realize, like, dog, you really got to go out here and kill every single game, because they will send your ass home in a heartbeat, you know? So, yeah, went through the season. Pretty average. I think I averaged 17, you know, nothing spectacular. Learned a lot. So then this is where stuff get, you know, as you know what I'm saying? Out of everybody, I feel like you know the best of this journey. I think going into it, I'm expecting, like, you know, I should get some calls, you know. I should get some, hearing some stuff here in July, you know, August, I'll be signed, ready to go. It went the complete opposite, you know. And we, everybody signed out. I'm always the first guy to cheer my guys on. So July come around, you know, not hearing much. I'm hearing this and that, you know. My guys signed, I'm congratulating. I'm like, cool, you know. Had a good summer, Disney run, everything good. It's just this professional thing is just not sticking right now. I'm like, damn, I just played a season under my belt, you know. Why am I not getting no calls? And, like, it wasn't, like, the fact that Kev wasn't working. He was showing me screenshots of conversations of the coaches telling me, like, he's not ready or this league is too good for him or just, like, we're going to go a different direction, which is all adding fire, all adding fuel to my fire, you know. So it comes August, September. I'm like, damn, I ain't got nothing. All my guys is gone, you know. So I'm like, damn. And you know, we was in the weight room.
Me and you. It was me and you.
Yeah, I'm just watching everybody go. I'm congratulating. I'm happy for him. I'm also like, damn, when my time gonna come? We going through workouts I ain't never even seen before. We done did the whole book. We making up workouts at this point.
Testing stuff out on you.
Come on, man. So I'm like, dang, like. Just keep grinding. My mom with my parents was really big on me. Just keep going. My guys was telling me to stay locked in. And I had a trial. Kyle got me a tryout with Cleveland, and Kev knows the GM, so I had a couple networks there. So they're like, okay, reach out, come out to the tryout. You know, we'll check him out, see how he is, and all that stuff. I'm like, cool. So I go out there and kill. I do pretty good. You know, pretty solid. I wouldn't say nothing crazy, you know what I'm saying? I was playing steady. I made the shots I was supposed to and play hard. So the tryout ended, you know what I'm saying? Couple weeks later, I'm at Olive Garden because I served at Olive Garden, you know. The real ones know.
Yeah,
so,
we know.
You know, so I'm serving there and I'm about to go in for work. And Kev called, he's like, yo, are you free? And every time he say that, I know it's something good. You know, I know it's on his plate. So I'm like, okay, I gotta answer this. So he called me like, yo, I just got a text and call from the GM. You invited to training camp. Well, I felt a nice little sigh of relief. Just the happiness of like, because it's been so much negative months and months and months. I'm like, damn, about time. Like I can see something like kind of paying off. I know the 100 of guys that was in there. I know the few that they selected and I was one of them. So I really felt good and like the sense of like, okay, this work is starting to show, like I'm this close now, you know. And we had talks, plenty of talks about it, and like you right there at this door, you know. So I go out there, training camp, just taking everything in, you know, just trying to have fun with it and compete with the guys they got there. And it was more so just as I look back, a learning experience, you know. I took a lot in, learned from the GMs on and off the court, how is the business up there, very political. Went out there, play hard, but I ended up getting cut. I didn't make final roster. So I talked to the GM. They tell me I'm a good player, just didn't have a spot for me, you know. So now we back at square one again. It's November at this point. Now I'm like, shit. This maybe hooping just not for me. You know what I'm saying? Like I ain't getting no calls. Teams in Georgia passing up on me. I'm like, damn, like I killed this team and they don't even want me back to Georgia, you know? So I'm like, all right, maybe this ain't nothing going to happen. December rolls in. Trainer Isaac hits me like, yo, I got something in Egypt. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm taking it. You know what I'm saying? Just off the strength of.
Oh, I forgot all about this.
You know what I'm saying? Like, like I ain't got nothing else. So I'm taking it. And Kev telling me, you know what I'm saying? Just like, we're going to take it, just be cautious of the situation. I'm trying to call the team and stuff, but we're going to take it. So I get out there, man. Cool. I'm in a hotel. I'm like, maybe this is where I'm going to be. I'm going to be Middle East, and that's cool. I'm going to climb from here. Man. Dog, I get out there. I go to practice. I ain't practice the first day. I'm watching. I'm okay, cool. Second day, we got to do, like, testing and all the medical stuff that you normally do. I'm okay. I'm getting my feet wet. Like, I'm like, ooh, I can relax. I'm on the team. I practice with the team. Boom, we got a game Friday. I think like a Tuesday or something. Wednesday, they're like, yo, you can't practice. Why not? Why can't I practice now? You know what I'm saying? They like, I guess the team and the federation, wherever the team sent the budget, the federation like, y'all ain't got that. Like, we don't have that money. So like, I don't know what you're going to pay him with, you know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, the deadline to sign the papers for foreigners expired the day I got there. So once I land, it was really over. I just didn't know that. So I'm getting to practice. It's like, yeah, it's damn near over with. So I only got practice one time out there. I'm in a hotel room stuck for 3 to 4 days. I'm like, this is crazy. Like this is really not meant for me to hoop no more. Like I guess this is my time to hang it up. Like my last day, I went to the museum. I forgot what the Egyptian National Museum, something like that. I was supposed to go to the pyramids. I started sightseeing at this point.
You was on vacation.
That's how I was looking. I'm like, shit, I'm on vacation in Egypt. Not many people get to go to Egypt. Just explore this city. You know what I'm saying? I get out, start exploring. I'm in the museum, not looking at nothing. I'm not reading nothing. People ask me, do I want tour guides? No, I don't want a tour guide. I'm just looking at the big old sculptures here and just walking around. So it's crazy. So I'm just walking around. Kev called me like, yo, TSU out of Georgia, they, you know what I'm saying, they see you're still available and they want you. Back in my head, I'm like, you know. But it's like, boy, you ain't got nothing else. You either about to go home or you about to go to Georgia. So I'm like, okay, bet. I'm like, all right. And we talk about the financials, whatever it is, nothing crazy. I just got to take it, you know, because my stock is dropping by the day that I don't not playing nowhere. So I'm in the museum talking to him, signing contracts and all this stuff. And, like, we trying to figure out flights to get me out there. So I end up coming home for Christmas. So I fly home from Egypt, 20-plus hour flight. Land there. I'm home for probably, like, 3 days out of Christmas. Then I'm back on the flight to Georgia's long flight. That's so long. So I get out there, bro. Everything cool. It's second nature now. They want me to be that guy. They want me to come out and play my game. And man, that's what I did. I think that season really spoke for all the pain and everything I went through just the previous month, because I was coming out there with so much anger and just motivation and disrespect, you know. So I was like, they're going to feel me from every single game. And I think I put that out there, and I think all my teammates can vouch for that, because I came in shape, of course. And I just came in dominating and letting it be known, like, I'm going to be the best player in this league, or you got to show me otherwise, you know. So that season goes on. I'm killing, leading the league and scoring. We winning games. I got a veteran team around me. So we confident going into it. Cup comes around. We win the championship, first time in with the team in a long time. Then we go into playoffs. And this one, like, I really got locked in, because I already know, like, teams love winners, you know. So all the guys was on the same page, and we go through the playoffs. We get to the finals. I roll my ankle. The worst ankle sprain I probably had in my career, you know. But they gave me some cortisone shots, which I...
Yeah, shoot you up, make you feel good.
Man, for a short time. So I go through it, hurt ankle, end up killing, you know. Won a championship out there, which is a great feeling. It just... Because everything I've been through and all the trials and tribulations from the past, like, 8-9 months, I'm like, I feel a sigh of relief, because, like, you came out here and set every goal you set for yourself this short season, like, you accomplished it, you know? And then all the accolades fell afterwards, and then I was like, a chip. I felt good about that, because I know I put the work in for it, you know? And then, so, yeah, leaving that season MVP and all that, I feel confident. I'm like, I know I got to have something this summer. You know, like, it's just no way. Mm-hmm. But, like, so I came in just a little less stressed, you know. So June go, I get back, ankle is tore up.
Most. Yeah, we had to put that thing back together.
Man, I'm talking about my ankle tore up. I'm like, dang, I ain't nowhere near 100%. You know, so we got that done. But then, yeah, Kev called me, like, late June, you know, that Salo, they was looking at me, got on the call with the coaches. They love my game. They love how I can, like, impact their team, you know, and the rest is history. So that's how I got out here now, you know, and it's just more motivation and just another chapter I got to write for myself, because the Georgia's in the past. I appreciate it. I learned a lot from it. And now it's a new level I got to get to and just keep climbing. So that's how I got out here, man. It was a hell of a journey, but it's still going. I love it, and it's still going, you know. But yeah, this is how I got here.
Facts. We're gonna go down and break down some of those stops individually.
Yeah.
And I want to take it all the way back to the TBL, because a lot of people might not know what the TBL is. So, yeah. like in my mind, the TBL is kind of like a, it's probably a tier above semi-pro,
right?
And probably a tier below some of the lower level like overseas places.
Yeah.
So it's a league here in America that it's a good league. Like it's just a new league, so it's got a lot of growing pains to go through. Talk about what that was like for you. Like you now, it's kind of probably confusing sometimes when we're talking about Atlanta and then we're talking about Georgia. We're gonna right. separate the two. We talk about Atlanta and we talk about the country Georgia.
So, yeah, the whole time we're country Georgia. You know, that's right in the under Russia, wild man country.
So you go out to Atlanta in the TBL, yeah. and you're basically you're playing other TBL teams for a 3-month season. During that time, there was a lot of really good players in the TBL because the G League had shut down. Mm-hmm. I think Lindy Waters, Xavier Moon, a couple other current NBA players were in the TBL. So what was it? Was it like, what was your mindset now? Because I know some guys are like, kind of like they act like they would never do the TBL versus some guys are like, I'll take any opportunity and make the most of it. Where were you at?
I'd take any opportunity. And I think just coming into it with that open mind, it really helped me, you know, because there's a lot of good individual talent in the TBL. Like, it's some dogs, you know. I got my vet, Chuck Guy, who just was just defensive player of the year, and they just won the championship this past TBL season. Like, Eugene German, people don't realize he was in the TBL because he couldn't get nothing coming out. Like, the TBL produces and opens up doors. A lot of guys, they don't realize that it can open up plenty of doors, you know. And I played plenty of dogs that's overseas now and it's making great living just coming out because they didn't have anything coming out of school or they got hurt, so they had to get back in shape with the TBL. So the TBL is good, bro. Like, I wish people would put more respect on it, you know. Of course, they got to some certain organizations that's not as professional as others, but, like, basketball-wise, like, you can definitely excel from coming from the TBL, speaking for myself and guys I know that where they're in their career now, where they came from. Like, it's basketball at the end of the day, you know, and you get paid for it no matter how short the season is. Like, it's some dudes that can go over there right now and come over here and kill, you know, or some guys just doesn't want to go overseas. But TBL, it produced some dogs. Like, I went across some dogs. I played with them. Including myself, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, yeah, TBL is lit. I hope young guys, whatever. If you ain't got nothing, the TBL is the only option. Me, personally, I would tell you to take it, you know, just because it's updated film. You getting money for it, you know, and you're playing other guys. And it's different from college. It's a professional-style basketball, you know. And guys are out there trying to win and produce for their families and produce for themselves. So, yeah, I will always root behind the TBL just for people to go into it and start their careers or reboot their careers or wherever their situation may be. I would say go to the TBL because, you know. But the TBL, it got its lows, though. You know, it got its sometimes you taking an 8-hour bus ride in a little bitty van, you know what I'm saying? Or you stopping at a motel, they trying to put you in the motel. Like, nah, it's like I used to call it, not that I went to JUCO and knocked on JUCO, just off stories, my guys. I used to say it was professional JUCO, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's a good analogy.
Yeah, the way it was, like, my organization, it was a real good organization. It was pretty professional for the case may be, but, like, just on the road trips and just how everything was in certain organizations. Like, I say it was professional JUCO. No guys that can vouch for it. But, nah, yeah, I love it. I'm glad about that process, though, for sure.
Speaking of professional, sorry, I just got a text message. You heard the ding. Forgot to turn my do not disturb on, so.
Mine's always on. Always.
I need to get better at that. I want to go back to what you said. You mentioned Olive Garden, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is a cool story. And I really love this because I remember me and my family, we went out to eat. We were like, yo, we want Jaimin's table. We want to get served by Jaimin, you know what I mean? Just to go show love and support. And then a few weeks later, you're in training camp with the G League. So How did it feel to literally go from serving at a restaurant to an NBA affiliate training camp? You went from serving food to serving buckets, you could say. Now,
like, to a multi-million dollar facility. No, it was crazy once I got in the hotel room and just like really bagged up and just been where my feet was at and just like seen the whole bigger picture. It's like, damn, like you really in a place where a lot of guys want to, you know what I'm saying? I always forget that, you know, like mm-hmm. I got an opportunity that a lot of guys will never get to. And I'm always blessed and appreciative for that opportunity. But yeah, bro, it was crazy. Cause I was literally just slaving. Like I was my whole mood. I wasn't even the same back then. Cause I know I have to go to work. I had workouts. I'm like, bro, what is this even for? Like, what am I even doing? I'm about to start coaching. I started hitting up Caesar like, yo, we about to get to coaching or something about to happen. Cause this hooping stuff just ain't for me no more. And then I get the call. Now I got to flip the switch. Now I'm at training camp with millionaires. You know what I'm saying? Like, God, six figures plus and been in the league or been in the G League for so long or top leagues overseas. So it's like, bro, like it showed that I can play with the best of them and show like my game is worthy enough to play at that level. And it just put a different type of added confidence to myself that I knew I had, but it, like that just put a little boost to it. Like, bro, you made G League training camp. No, I didn't play games or nothing like that, but I know I can. Like just being there and just going through that schedule and that routine and really living the life of a G League player, right? Then it was like, you can do this. And I got a taste in my mouth. I always got that taste. Like, I know if the opportunity presents itself, I know I will take it or I will go back. But like overseas, I love overseas though. Like out here, it's different. It's peaceful. You know what I'm saying? It's safe. Mm-hmm. Food, good. Everything just hit different out here, you know? But yeah, it was a crazy trend. Like from 2 weeks from serving in my same little black outfit, you know, to being in a G League uniform, you know? So yeah. It was surreal, for real.
Yeah, I mean, you were on 2K. That's pretty dope. You know what I mean? Like,
I got 2K guys hitting me up, and they got guys making my jersey. They got guys showing my animation. I'm like, damn, like, this is the life. You know what I'm saying? And we ain't gonna talk about the food. Like, it's just everything. Everything up there is just like different. It's like, this is okay. This is how they living. And that's just the G League. And we're in the same facility as Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. Like, we're getting treated the same as them, same food, not the gear, of course. But, you know what I'm saying, same equipment. Everything is the same. I'm walking past them. I think Donovan have 40 and Christopher have 40. They come back, you know what I'm saying, they're shaking with it. They just cool, down-to-earth dudes. I'm like, damn, like, this is Kevin Love eating salmon with me right here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's the same Love that was just with Bron and all that. It was really surreal, and I was like a little kid, but I had to keep it calm and cool, collected. Mm-hmm. I ain't about to be in there just acting like, just like, ugh, I couldn't be that dude. But I wanted to.
Yeah. Internally, you're like fanned out. Yeah. You're like, holy shit, this is crazy.
Kyrie, like everybody, it's just like, be calm, be cool. Be kind, you know what I'm saying? Act like you've been here before. Knowing damn well I ain't never been there before.
100%, man. That's super cool. I mean, that's a really cool story, basically, you know, that kind of illustrates the grind, the struggle, the adversity that you've gone through. And then you mentioned after G League got let go, re-signed to a different team in Georgia, you go win the MVP, you go win the cup, you go win the league, pretty much sweep everything you're supposed to do.
100%.
Do everything to the most elite level, and then now it's starting to open up for you, and now like GMs, teams, presidents, coaches are reaching out like, okay, now we see that this dude is legit. So what are some things, I know it's early in the new league, but what are some things that you're noticing that are just different, whether it be on or off the court, from coming from Georgia to now, like a top league in Finland, where you're going to be playing in a lot of these big, like World Cup type environments?
Yeah. I feel like the biggest thing is the detail and the pace. I feel like reaction time is a little bit different. You know, it's quicker. You got to react a little bit quicker. The guys are just a little bit more faster or athletic. And the skill wise kind of raised. Not to knock Georgia at all. There's definitely some dogs out there, and I played against a lot of guys really, really good in that league. But overall, just the pace is really more up tempo. Faster, smaller bigs, you know, that gets up to four. And off the court, I mean, Finland, this is a lot quieter and more peaceful than Tbilisi was. Tbilisi was a bigger city, everything on the go, everybody's in a rush. Always stuff to do out here is just kind of more relaxed and calm, and everybody moves at their own little pace. That's just what I've seen so far. But yeah, on the court, it's just, I feel like it's not too much different, you know, but just the style of play is a little bit different. It's more detailed, very more detailed and up-tempo. The pace is the biggest thing I would say. It's a quicker pace for sure.
Yeah, so your role, I want to talk about your role. So when you're in Georgia for both seasons, you're being asked to do everything. We need you to score the ball at a super high, efficient rate. We need you to guard the best player. We need you to rebound. We need you to win us games. Kind of like, hey, we're gonna just hop on your back and you take us to the top. What is your role so far in this new team, being that you guys probably have more of an expanded roster with other imports and you're playing at a higher level now? What does that look like for you?
This role is, I wouldn't say it's too much different. You know, I'm still bringing leadership and that scoring ability. But I think it's just controlling the pace. Like, I don't need to go out and score 30 every game, you know. I got guys that can get that, but more so like holding everybody accountable, leading on the offense and being more consistent on the defensive level, talking to the younger guys, giving them tidbits, you know what I'm saying, answering questions for them. But also, you know what I'm saying, scoring the ball. The play breaks down. Coach knows my scoring ability, and he trusts me, and I trust him that I can help get a bucket and help lead to different victories, you know, if the offense is not going well. But mostly my role is to score the ball, guard, get everybody going, big energy guy, you know, and just be able to put myself anywhere on the court, whether it's – if I'm having an off game, I know I can still produce and still help the team get wins, I would say. But, yeah, it's not the same as Georgia where I was just like score, like – yeah, you know, like this team don't need that. Like, I know I can kick it to my guys, and I know they can do the same thing. So, like, not saying I want my scoring to drop or whatever the case may be. Like, if the ball goes in, the ball goes in. But I just know I don't have to go out there and just exert my energy trying to score every single possession. You know, I can be patient with it. I can let the play develop and really work on my game, because this league, it helps develop guys to make big jumps. You know, this league has definitely took guys to different levels, you know. So I'm just trying to learn, and I've been really talking to my coaches about my pace, you know, coming off screen, seeing different reads, which I have been this training camp, you know, just being more on ball. You know, normally I'm off the ball, but now I'm on the ball, coming off screen, setting the offensive up, and just getting my guys involved, getting my guys going. So that's definitely new. And I feel like that's going to expand my game, just knowing teams know I can have a – at the point guard or main point guard role in the near future.
That'd be dope. Yeah, that'd be a big point guard. I like the sound of that for sure.
Yeah.
Hey guys, just taking a quick break from the show to give a special shout out to my partners over at Hoist. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Gym Sessions podcast. If you guys are not familiar with Hoist, you got to check out drinkhoist.com. That's their website. You can get on there. You can learn all about the formula, how it's formulated specifically to give you instant and optimal hydration. This is my favorite hydration beverage on the market, and honestly something that I use every single day. My athletes never see me without a bottle of one of these. So just an outlook on kind of what you can expect. We got 430 milligrams of sodium, 130 milligrams of calcium, 260 milligrams of potassium, 20 milligrams of magnesium, only 13 grams of sugar. That is an amazing electrolyte profile to help you guys stay on top of your hydration game. So again, drinkhoist.com. You can use our code GEMS, that's G-E-M-S, to get 10% off your order. Just take a look around the website If you have any questions, feel free to let me know and I can help educate you on my favorite drink. Now back to the show.
You mentioned like taking leaps, you know what I mean? And so it's kind of funny that there's always these like weird stories intertwined with other guys that train with us. So
yeah.
When Jaywalk was on his double license in Germany with the top league BBL team, Jalen Brown was on that top league team. And that's another guy that trains with us.
Yeah.
Now, this team that you're on right now was where Jalen Brown started his career off.
Right.
And then he goes on to play in Spanish ACB, and then now he's in top league Turkey, probably one of the better players in the world right now. So 100%. Are you looking at that like, this is what's possible for me? You know, obviously you guys are different players, different positions, things like that. But is that like motivation for you? Like, look, this is where he started. Now where he's at, we all kind of look to Jalen like he's really doing it at a super high level. So how's that feel?
No, it felt good just knowing he came from there. Like, it just shows me, like, the places you can go from this league and then how respected this league is. So it's definitely added motivation and just keeps me locked in the back of my head, you know, just like you go out and produce, you go out and win games, teams and GMs are going to notice it from bigger leagues. Like, okay, he produced in that league, he produced on that team, and they won games. Like, he must be a solid player all around that we need him, you know. So that when I first signed, he hit me up and was just congratulating me and letting me know, like, what I needed to do to just keep moving up and the leaps I can make from this league. And I've heard it from multiple people. So it's like I really had me locked in. Like, I'm like, okay, all right, this is my most important season thus far because, like, it can make that big jump in my career, and which I know I can make that jump. So I just got to play my game and do what I do. And the rest is going to be taken care of for sure.
Facts, 100%. Something that I meant to bring up earlier, this is kind of a crazy thing, but, I mean, it sounds weird when you say it out loud, but I know you'll understand. So when you're overseas and your role is scoring and you're in a league like a Georgia or kind of like an entry-level league, how hard is it for you to, like, sometimes just be selfish versus – make the right basketball play, the winning basketball play, because your role is to score. And like you said, it's cutthroat. If you don't do your job how they want you to do your job, they could send you home at any moment. So if they're saying, Jaymin, we need you 25 plus a night, but you get into a situation where you're like, ah, that's a better read or that's a better pass, but I only have 12 points right now in the middle of the third quarter. I got to get going. Like, where's the balance there? Because I don't think people understand that, how severe that is.
It's a great balance you got to have. And it comes with just maturity and experience, you know. Now, more so, I know how to read and know how to play my spots and know what shots to take. And if I take it, I got to take it with confidence, you know. Cause if I take the shot, I feel like the shot's going to go in, or I worked on that shot. So, like, if I do take a questionable shot in the coach's eyes, in my head, I feel like that was a really good shot. But if there's a better opportunity for me to win, now I'm going to go with that pass for my guy to lay it up so he can win, you know. Because, yes, producing is really, really important, but also winning too. Like, if you're not getting that GM, their team, their wins that they need to make it to the playoffs or – make it to stay in the top league and not get relegated, then, like, you're going to go home if you don't get the win. So now it's more so, like, I want to get the win, and, like, my points and stuff is going to come later, you know? Not to just be like, I'm not going to score. And of course not. Like, I'm going to make sure I get mine in the right way now, just because the experience I've had and the growth I have with my game, like, I don't have to rush, and try to score every single possession. Like, I can pick my points and pick my my plays and stuff and just know how to get the team involved and keep everybody happy, I will say. It's a tough balance. Starting as a rookie, like, there's no way I wouldn't understand it that, and I would try to go points, you know. Now, so the situation I'm in, it's now, like, do the better play, the play that's going to make you win the game, because that's going to look good on you and on the whole team, instead of being selfish and doing a step back three when your guy was wide open underneath, or that extra one more was wide open. So now, more so, I definitely just kick it to the one more or a game-winning layup to win the game instead of doing some BS.
100%. And, yeah, it's like it helps as you level up in leagues, that brand of basketball, like, surrounds you, and so it makes it a little bit easier than, you know, in previous situations where you feel like your whole job is on the line if you don't just put up 30.
No, so. For sure. I'm glad. I'm honestly glad I'm in that type of situation where I gotta score 30 every single night. Like, nah, like, I know if I have an off night, we win, that's still a plus for me, you know? Because at the end of the day, I need to be playing. I need to make the top six and make the be in the playoffs. So now that's where the all the eyes go. Like, who was in the playoffs? Like, who was in the semifinals? Who made it to the finals? Now this is where the real players start happening. This is where it shows who's the real dogs out there. So, like, my main focus is to win games, and everything else is going to take care of itself.
Facts. Sure. Yeah, so a lot of people don't know, man, but you're probably the silliest dude of all time. Like, you.
Question. We know we got a few guys here. I just be me. You know,
you might be top three funniest people I've ever trained in the history of my career. So exactly. I want to know, like, what's it like to be your teammate? Like, how are you in the locker room? How are you on the court, man? Because in the weight room and training, like, you feel you keep us alive, man. Like, you really bring that vibe, and, you know, everybody feeds off of each other, but. You got to be top tier legendary status in my gym, at least.
Appreciate that. Yes, sir. Now, my teammate, like, I'm just a good teammate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm always checking everybody's vibe. I'm checking, like, if you got a bad day, I'm asking, why? What's wrong with you? Because the way I carry myself now, like, what's wrong? Like, what is it? What's really bothering you? And we're going to get to the root of it in 1 minute. And then we're going to move on and we're going to laugh. And then, like, on the court, now, it's all business. Like, we're going to talk crazy to each other. We're going to make each other better. We're going to have fun by doing it. We're going to laugh. Like, everything ain't serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, relax. Calm down. Like, if you can't control it, like, whatever the coach is doing, you can't control that. All you can control is your effort and what you got going on. So, like, smile, have fun. I make jokes on the court all the time. You know, I know when to turn it off, of course, but, like, I know when I can joke. But off the court, oh, yeah, it's free game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm making jokes. I'm talking about people. I'm doing. Look, just anything to bring the vibe up in the room or make somebody laugh. I don't know why. It's just me. Like, you know, in the gym, like, we can have an hour workout. We can have a 2 hour workout, but we're going to get the same work in. It's just going to be a little bit more funny. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's a little bit more funny in between.
Yeah, like, I'm going to get this working. I'm going to get better, but I'm also going to have a good laugh. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to have a great laugh every session.
Every session, something is going to be like, we're going to stop for 5 to 10 minutes just to appreciate what just happened.
A great laugh. I'm talking about hand on knee, bent over everything, laughing, stomach hurting. No, for real. Like, you got to have that. Just in our profession, you know, like, we be having a lot of stressful days. I will always say, like, you need guys around you who can make you laugh. Like, and that's important. Like, my group of guys, we all hilarious. Like, I've been blessed to be around people that's just funny. You know, like, you, J-Wall, like, Jaden and Kobe, like, they are just funny guys. Like, how can you lift with that and not laugh? You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
I be having the ball, you know. Everybody say I'm the goofy one. I be just being me, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what be coming up in my head half the time, but I'll just be being me. That's all. That's cool.
I love it, man. I love it. That's why when you're going through your journey, kind of explaining, you know, kind of where you were mentally when you were, you know, not finding deals, got cut from a training camp, and you come in and you're just like, you're having a bad day. Like, I've never seen you have a bad day. You know what I mean? Like, it threw me off. I'm like, damn, I need you to get me through some bad days. So, yeah, it was odd.
It was weeks, and guys and people was like, Jaimus different. Like, Jaimus, man, I was evil. nothing was funny to me. Like, nothing was games. Like, I was at work, at home, at the weight room. Like, it was nothing was funny. Like, I was getting irritated. And I used to know, like, uh-oh, Jaimus having his day again.
Yeah, I used to call that shit out. I'm like, bro, because, like, we have been training together for 6 years now. Yeah. And I've literally never, like, seen you show displeasure for anything. Like, I know internally you're like, okay, I don't want to push this sled, or I don't want to lift that heavy today, but, like, because we have a good relationship, you're gonna be like, all right, I'm gonna get through it. That was the first time I ever seen you like, fuck this, I don't want to do it.
Because my motivation was just going down by the minute. Every minute, it was like, I didn't get a call. Like, it was just like, bro, toss this up. I'm like, there ain't even no point in me doing this. Like, it was at time. It was a very dark time. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Hey, we made it through, man.
Good now.
So what are you looking forward to most about this season coming up? Like, it's a big season for you. Like, what's on your radar? Goals individually and team? Like, where are you at right now mentally?
I'm taking it day by day and trying to win every single day, and that's going to stack my days into months and into years. So I'm just trying to go out, make my team better, me get better and learn, you know. That's the biggest thing. And I feel like my game is just going to blossom and just help this team win games, because I want to win a cup here and I want to win a championship here. Like, getting that taste of winning, like, I want that every single season I play again. So I'm going to do whatever I can to make that happen. And then individually, I feel like the rest is going to take care of itself. If I do what I do, I know the accolades will come with it. So, like, I'm not putting no pressure on the season or anything. I'm going to go out and have fun, learn, and just compete. You know I can outwork somebody by trying to get an extra rebound or dive on the floor or clap on my teammates if I'm having an off night. Just like that stuff is going to go longer than me trying to go out, okay, I got to score 25 and stuff like that. Like, that's putting unnecessary pressure on me. Like, I'm just going out there, have fun, take everything in, and win as many games as possible. And I know my future will expand if I just do that. Stay positive and just keep going. But I'm definitely looking forward. I'm ready to compete with the guys. Like, I've been seeing guys around the league, and it's like I'm catching up to them high level dudes, and it's like they got to show me. You know, I'm ready to put my talent against theirs, and I want to show them like I'm the best. Like, I'm coming out every game, showing guys like, okay, yeah, he's not to play with. Like, Georgia was a good league. Like, I want to see him do it. Like, I want to show guys like that wasn't like a fluke or just because I was in the Georgia Super League. Like, nah, like, it's here too. You know, yeah. So I definitely walk around with a chip on my shoulder, and I take everything as like motivation to lock in, like, because I know the lifestyle I want and that's around me. Like, I'm gonna get that too for sure. So I'm definitely locked in and ready for this season.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. What have you learned so far? Like, what have been some things, some takeaways, like some tactical things that you've noticed from some of these higher level guys that you're playing with and against now? That you're like, ooh, I need to add that to my game, or I need to kind of improve this so that they can't do that so well. Yeah. Like, what are some things you're taking away?
I take away a little bit of everything, just defensive stuff, how to read screens, how to get over screens better, or doing little tricks and ticks to get through the refs. And offensively, just like being patient, like pace, it's like becoming like my best friend. Like, younger guys need to, if you can get a pace to your game and just not go one speed, your whole game will open up, because you'll start seeing things that you wouldn't have seen if you was just going 100 miles per hour. And learning how to play off my shot fake, because everybody know I'm going to shoot the ball, you know. So now once I get in the lane and start picking them apart, it opens up my game. Just being patient and just really working off your pump fake, because everybody know I'm going to shoot and I'm going to drive them and stuff like that. So, like, this little tidbits I would say that I took away. It's not too much, because I just – it's a lot that I can say, but it's probably just the little things, just the stuff to get around and how to maneuver on the court and come off a screen or push off without getting a foul call. So it's just a little thing.
Nothing crazy. So you mentioned kind of like being in different situations now versus on ball, off ball. I feel like you had a ton of more ISO opportunities in Georgia than you will here. Yeah. What kind of offense are you guys running? What are some of the actions that you guys are getting to that you think are going to be, like, really beneficial for you? Not even just as a scorer, but just to be able to make plays.
Yeah. We got a more up-tempo, like, downhill more type offense. Like, we got hot ball screens, but we got different sets, quick hitters and stuff like that. And if the play breaks down, we got a high ball screen coming off the screen. But we got a lot of coming downhill pitches and stuff like that, which will definitely help my game. Just I'm not sitting in the corner, you know. I'm always on the move without the ball. And then once the shot clock go down, if Von don't got the ball, I got the ball. And I'm making a play, you know. And it's just going to help my game with the reads, the pace, seeing different actions and how the defense reacts off certain moves and stuff. So I'm definitely learning that in preseason. and it's helping me a lot. Like, my game has just changed in this past 2.5 weeks now. Like, I'm learning, the pace is really, everything's not fast and sped up, it's slowed down for me. So now I'm seeing different things, getting guys open. So it's definitely going to make my game even more better and stronger and bag deeper by the time I come back home next year for sure.
Facts. Are you guys playing in Champions League or Europe Cup? Or like, or what's your season structure look like?
No, we're not in any cup teams, but we have two cup teams in our league, which is really good for me and my guys. Mm-hmm. But we got one team trying to qualify for Champions League and one team, and I think trying to qualify for FIBA Europe Cup. But the other both teams are in Europe Cup. I think both of them trying to qualify for Champions. Whatever the case may be, I heard cup team. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's,
yeah, that's where you get your money.
Yeah. Opportunity for me to show other teams, like, I can play against guys that's in that cup leagues and stuff like that. So, like, it's definitely going to help me out. And those games are definitely circled on the calendar because I'm really looking forward to seeing what the difference is to being a cup team and to not being a cup team. But, like, yeah. I'm going to go out and compete. Like I said earlier, like, dudes going to have to show me why, like, the difference is, you know what I'm saying? Like, but they also going to know I'm real like that. But,
right, yeah. For sure. What's the sneaker game looking like this year? What you plan on playing in this new league? I know you got some shit up your sleeve.
Man, I got a little song. I know I got my Under Armour. Shout out, Ty. You know, gotta have
some. Wish I could get my own PEs, but, you know.
You playing. But no, I got a few Under Armours. I got some bronze. What else I got? I got some Kyries too. I'm really going for comfort this year, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's still popping, but like comfort goes a long way. And if my feet hurt, it's over with.
Over. I already know. It's over.
Well, so yeah, now it's more so comfort, you know. And I'm always been like a bright shoe guy. So I got a few shoes that's real bright, and I got some subtle shoes. But right now, 5 or 6 shoe rotation. I'll swap them out by December and stuff because I hate wearing the same shoe over and over again. Like, I gotta rotate them.
None too crazy. The ones that you mentioned, so you got, we'll just say Under Armours, Kyrie's, LeBron's. What's the most comfortable? Because I've been hearing some good things about the Under Armours.
Y'all gonna hate me. It's the Under Armour. My Under Armours right now are my comfiest shoes. And then it go to bronze. The bronze are really comfortable. But my Under Armour 20s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're super comfy.
Oh, I love them. Shout out Ty again.
Her episode, we're recording this in advance. So yours is going to drop in a couple weeks. Her episode is dropping this week. My biggest regret is not giving her more shit about how she never gives me shoes.
You need to get on her because I be having to get on her sometimes because I be like, yo, these are coming out, you know what I'm saying? And I don't get a text back. I'm like, yo, all right, we not about to start doing this. So then I gotta double back, like, bro, hey, tighten up. I know, come on now. You know the sign. But nah, yeah. Shout out her though. She's doing her thing too out there.
Facts. As of today, they're in the closeout game in the playoffs. So. I hope that when this episode comes out, they're still playing.
100%. I believe they is. They got to.
Facts. All right, it's time for the hot seat, man. We're going to put you on the hot seat. Rapid fire.
Hey, yo, don't do it.
Rapid fire questions, baby. We going all in on these.
Say that.
Coming off the bat right here. If you turned around right now and you saw a ghost, what would be your reaction?
Like I've seen ghosts before. Y'all gonna call me crazy, but I've seen ghosts before. So I honestly, if it's just the white thing I'm seeing, like, I look at it and really be in detail. Like, I'd be scared because I couldn't run. I'd just be staring at it. We'd probably be staring at each other. You know what I'm saying? you ain't lying. I'm running out that door.
I would freak out, bro.
Man, I'm going flying through the door. I ain't gonna lie to you. With piss running down my leg.
That would be crazy. All right, what is the most overrated movie of all time?
Most overrated. Ooh. Damn, that's a good one. Oh. Man. What you got?
My number one overrated movie that people say is a classic that I just don't think is good is Hoosiers.
See, I ain't never seen it.
It's like, it's bad. People say it's historic and, you know, basketball history, but it's just a bad movie. Like, it's not entertaining.
Yeah, is some of the Madea movies overrated? It may be one. I'm just like, ugh.
Those might be properly rated. I feel like they're just not high expectations for them at all.
That's true. What's an overrated movie? I don't know, because I've been hitting the gems with my movies for real.
Yeah.
I don't know, because that's overrated.
One point for me. Got your ass.
You got Next question. What are they do on Family Feud? Next.
All right. Well, this is a good one. Who was the first player that you ever saw and internally said, damn, I got to get better?
Man. I think it was Jason Tatum, for real. We played him. It was Tatum, yeah. Tatum.
That was in AAU, like EYBL.
Yeah. Oh, and then yeah. I remember Seven Woods when that mixtape came out. I'm like,
Seventh Woods? That's a name I haven't heard. And dude, he was supposed to be the next freaking Michael Jordan.
I'm telling you, that. And then with I think it was Dennis Smith and Bam, that combo. Mm-hmm. Like, 2016 class was some elite dudes, and it was the elite for a long time, like, even before its senior year. So I'm like, bro, I got to get better. Like, it's a handful of guys. You are not where you need to be.
And it's that's good.
Yeah, it's like, bro, tighten up. So, yeah, it's a few of them. Jason Tatum definitely stands out right now.
For sure. All right, if you were not a professional basketball player, what do you think you would be doing for a living right now?
Man, Lord knows. You know, I think I'll just be money hungry. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing anything that can get
anything.
Me something. That's what we're going to end with right there. Anything that involves some money. Good money. Right. You know what I'm
saying? Good money. Legal money.
Legal money, y'all. Legal money. See.
All right, you got to start one, bench one, cut one. Instagram, oof. TikTok, oof. Snapchat.
Oh, we starting TikTok, benching Instagram, and cutting Snapchat.
That's easy. Easy money. All right, this was not on the list, but it just came to me, and I have to do it. I got to do it to you. Start one, bench one, cut oof. One.
Pause, big bro.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. Sorry about that. See, the thing is, I'm the editor. I could cut things out, but
I'm a real one.
I'm gonna let that one slide. You had one earlier. We're gonna move past it.
Cancel it out.
Start one, bench one, cut one. Yeah. Rod Wave, Kevin Gates, and Lil Baby.
Bro. Off rip, Rod start. You know what I'm saying?
I already knew that.
That's starting. Are we talking about old Gates? Are we talking about Gates now?
We talking about peak Gates that I know you just love Kevin Gates. Like, that's why I put him in there. People probably don't understand, like, that's an odd three, but this is what he likes.
Yeah, like elite Gates, like he was up there. He do some stupid stuff that make you hard to fight for him, but we're not talking about that Gates. We're talking about the OG Gates. Okay. I gotta let go. Like, I gotta bench. Kev getting bent. Nah. Boy's gonna be like, never mind. Baby and Kev gotta go. Sorry, big Kev.
Got you. So start Rod, bench for Baby, sure. Cut Kevin Gates.
Rod taking out a menace anyway. He wouldn't come out the game.
Oh, 100%. 100%. All right, besides you, who do you think is the funniest person in the gym?
Jaden. Jaden needs help. Like, I don't think everything is cool with Jaden. If I see him, I walk in the gym and I see him in there, 2.5 hour workout. I just know.
No doubt. Every time.
2.5, yes. Yeah. That's Jaden for sure. I was like walking everybody like,
yeah.
It ain't no dip. It's just Jaden just edges everybody out.
For some reason, one of the funniest memories is at the old place, DJ McCall. We're going to shout out DJ McCall.
Shout out DJ.
Nowhere. We weren't even talking about like funniness or anything. We're like doing a drill and he just out of nowhere just goes, "I'm really the funniest dude in here, but y'all catch me at a bad time." I'm just like,
what? I remember he said that morning. DJ crazy. DJ for sure.
Oh man, that shit caught me off guard. He's like, it's 8 a.m. and I'm just not that funny this early. But I was just like, that alone was funny to me and just like solidified that he is a funny ass dude.
Out DJ for sure. He are doing his coaching job too, so keep doing that.
Shout out DJ, man. One of the originals.
Of course.
All right, I need an unpopular opinion about basketball.
Unpopular opinion?
Something that you think a lot of people are going to fry you on.
Damn. Oh, basketball? Unpopular opinion. Damn, J.O. What is an unpopular opinion about basketball? I suck at these. You got one? I'm not going to take yours, but
what's crazy is I don't off the top of my head. I could probably I could probably think. Let me think.
My bad, John.
Unpopular. I'll think of one, too, while you're thinking.
Shit, man. Basketball, damn near it's the hardest one. Like, basketball players can go play other sports, but other sports can't come play basketball, for sure.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer because it's unpopular because every other athlete will think that they can play basketball. But what you're saying, I completely understand. Like, 100%, I agree. Man.
I know I can hit a baseball. They're going to kill me. This with Duncan and all them going to kill me. Like, I know I can hit a baseball. And Nolan and all them, like, I know I can hit a baseball. I don't care who's in front of me. But they can't come out there to the court. Like, it just get ugly. You know what I'm saying?
Hitting a baseball. That's probably the most drastic example you could have used. You should have said, I know I could be a tight end or a wide receiver. Hitting a baseball is so hard.
My bad for my baseball guys. They kill me. I got too many. They're going to kill me. Put me on the field, yeah. Shout out E. Coach E know what I can do.
Absolutely.
Hey, Eric.
That's a really good answer.
Match me up with I told him match me up with his best DB, and we playing ones.
We cooking all summer.
I'm going to burn him.
All right, this is something I added today. We were talking about this in the gym. Who is your Mount Rushmore of Indiana basketball players? So players that were born and raised in Indiana that went on to be, you know, NBA players or whatever. To help you out, actually, no, it could be all time. I was going to say just the recent era, but I don't know. We're just going to go all time, top 4 players from Indiana that represent Indiana basketball.
The Big O.
Love it.
Greg Conley. Are you thinking Indiana?
This fourth spot was giving us problems. Like, really? I have a name in mind. I know you have probably 3 that we're both probably thinking about. Who's it going to be?
I think we got to take our pride and just ego and just knowing people, we got to just say it. If I think of Indiana basketball, Larry not, is he considered that? He didn't, no.
I mean, technically, yeah, because he's from French Lick. It's just like, it's really weird because it's a long time ago. So you could put Larry. So let's add a fifth. We'll just make our own new mountain. Mount something.
Would you say George Hill?
I'm going between George Hill, Jeff Teague, and Eric Gordon. That's what we're struggling with. And we're trying. So Aaron Gordon was in the gym today. And, you know, obviously he's like, no, my brother got the spot. And so I'm like, yeah, it's hard to argue against that. And then Gordon Hayward came up. And then Kyle Guy came up. So I'm like, dude, we got Hoopers. Then Jaren Jackson Jr. came up. And he's on he's on the rise. He's not there yet, but he's gonna be there. But so yeah.
Cause Eric, his longevity is, he's still in the league, but Jeff has done more. Jeff won a championship, you know?
All-star championship, won the East multiple times.
Scratch out Larry, throw Jeff in there for sure. Shout out Jeff.
Bet. Shout out Jeff. Maybe we can get him on the podcast. I don't know. His podcast is getting too big now. I missed my window.
Hey, thing over there. But yeah, I got Jeff over there for sure.
All right, last one right here. If somebody gave you $1 million right now today, what is the first purchase you make?
First purchase?
Just like stupid blowing money purchase that you gotta do one. You know what I mean?
First, shout out to this person paying off my credit card.
Feel that, boy. I swear.
Credit card. Boom. We good. Knocking it out the way. Shout out to you know who you are. All right. Yeah. First dumb purchase. I'm buying a stupid, dumb, crazy, fast, loud car. I don't know what it'd be. It'd just be something stupid. It'd be like a, what would it be? What type of car?
Just something obnoxious.
Yeah, like I need a, like imagine me pulling up in a Lambo to work out. You feel?
That'd be crazy. That would bring everything to a whole new level.
I'm buying that and a big, stupid, dumb chain I'm wearing in workouts.
That's hard. Need it.
Yes, sirs. Yes, love sirs.
That, bro. Hey, well, before I let you get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and just anything that you want to plug coming up.
Y'all can follow me on Instagram at dhenson32_. We're going to double check that, but I'm pretty sure that's it. But yeah, now y'all can follow me there, you know, any questions or anything about basketball for the young guys or up-and-coming guys, you can always DM me, and I'd be loved to answer and help you out in that aspect and just give you my knowledge that I've gotten and I've learned over the years, you know. But, yeah, I'm an open book, so just keep hitting me up. And if y'all need a trainer, J.O. the best out there, you know, shout-out to my dog.
My God. Def-
big shout-out to my guy. He done got me out of dark places and just – keep my body and just keep my body ready for the next season. But yeah, shout out to you. But anybody want to DM me any questions about basketball, I got y'all for sure.
Man, and I appreciate you, bro. It was great catching up with you for sure.
All right.
I'll definitely be in touch. I'll probably talk to you less than 2 hours from now. So
we're going to send each other something. It'll be
some type of meme or something, man. You're my guy, bro. I appreciate you coming on here.
Always. Yes, sirs.
And that was another episode of the Gym Sessions podcast with my guy, Jaimin Henson. As always, if you guys could do me a favor, like it, share it, review it, rate it on whatever platform you're using so that other people will see it and know that the show is awesome and they should listen to it too. That helps me grow the show and continue to provide value for you guys. Continue to get guests on here and have great conversations like we did today. So, as I mentioned, make sure you follow Jaimin on social media. keep up with him throughout his career. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. It was great catching up with him. And until next week, we'll see you. We got another great guest on the docket. Can't wait. Peace.